Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about a subject which is forbidden. I'm not even going to tell you what it is for a minute because you might turn the radio right off. But first of all, I want to talk a little bit about my colleague, Jan, who used to be Jan Anderson, and as most of you know by now, she is Jan Wismer. But today is the first day that we're in the studio together since she became Mrs. Wismer. And I wish you could see Jan because she is a radiant bride. Last night she arrived in the midst of a snowstorm and brought along the wedding pictures of her and Lauren. Lauren Wismer, her attorney organist husband. She said that Murphy's Law was reversed on her honeymoon. Nothing went wrong. Murphy's Law says if anything can go wrong, it will. Well, nothing went wrong on their honeymoon. I suppose not too many new brides and grooms have that testimony, but isn't that wonderful? And Jan told me last night that already in these short months, she has learned some lessons on love. Well, I'm not going to let you in on what those are, but all of us who are married can testify that love takes on a deeper character and a new character, and it is a revelation after we get married. It shows up all sorts of things in our own character that are not always too pleasant to face. Well, I said I was going to talk about a forbidden subject. The subject is aging. This seems like an impossible subject to talk about because nobody is aging. Who's aging? I hear people say. I'm just a golden ager, or I'm a teenager, or you're only as old as you feel. And it's always somebody else who is old. But of course, if we're honest and sensible and realistic, which I do try to be, we have to recognize that we're all aging, and we're all aging at exactly the same rate. Interestingly enough, while I was washing the dishes this morning, I heard on the news that there are some new data being turned up about the different rates at which people age. But many show the signs of aging more quickly than others. And I was listening with both ears at that point because I thought, goody, here's some material maybe that I can add to my radio talk. But it was simply a matter of genetics. And I thought, oh, well, there's not much that you and I can do about that. If it was a matter of how we can live now in order to do better at aging, in order to make our old age fruitful, then that part I wanted to hear. But we can't fend it off. The cosmetic industry, the vitamin industry, things like Maturity Magazine, with all the activities that retired people are supposed to enjoy, from tennis to golf to shuffleboard to checkers to bridge, I guess sort of in that order. When you get a little bit too tired for tennis, you go to golf and then to shuffleboard and then to checkers and then to bridge. A friend of mine who's in his late 70s showed me a birthday card that he got recently, and it said something like this: aging is all in your head. The baldness, the bifocals, the loss of memory, the bridge in your mouth, the loss of memory, the hearing aid, the loss of memory, and P.S., did I mention the loss of memory? What about this business of being only as old as you feel? We're not getting older, we're getting better. Well, I would hope that as we are getting older, we are getting better, because God knows we've had more experience, more opportunities to learn lessons that some of us should have learned a long time ago. But what I'm referring to here is all these devices for the denial of a plain fact. And the fact is the fact of death. I think the devices for fending off the idea of old age are a disguise for devices for fending off the fact that we cannot face, which is death. We want to be content in our worldliness, and the fact of death makes that impossible. Let me say that again. We want to be content in our worldliness, but the fact of death makes that impossible. We become less and less content as we realize how very tenuous and ephemeral the world is. As it says in 1 John 2:17, the world and all its passionate desires will one day disappear, but the man who is following the will of God is part of the permanent and cannot die. Now, I want to be part of the permanent, and the will of God makes me part of the permanent when I willingly and voluntarily put myself in harmony with the will of God. The fact of aging makes the thought of death intolerable because, as we age, we become more and more keenly conscious of the fact that death is approaching us. It's not always somebody else who is old. It's I, for one. Some of you have read C.S. Lewis's very amusing and tremendously incisive book, Screwtape Letters. These were letters purportedly written by an older demon to a young demon, instructing him as to how to tempt his patience, P-A-T-I-E-N-T-S. And each younger demon was assigned to a patient that he was to learn how to tempt to sin. And Screwtape says to this younger one, "How disastrous for us is the continual remembrance of death which war enforces." There are many things that happen in the world that enforce the remembrance of death: earthquakes, volcanoes, political massacres, floods, hurricanes, famines, just to mention a few that have been in the news just in the past few months. Can we be contented in our worldliness in the face of things like that? Are things any different for Christians than they are for the non-believers? Christians suffer famines and floods and hurricanes and volcanoes and all the rest of it. John Greenleaf Whittier wrote these lines, "Not mindless of the growing years of care and loss and pain, my eyes are wet with thankful tears for blessings that remain." I'm reminded of the words in Proverbs, "The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." That's a verse that I usually give to people when I send them a birthday card. It's not bad news that we're a year older. It's good news if we believe this, that the path of the just shines more and more. Psalm 32:10, "Many are the pangs of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds him who trusts in the Lord." Trust in the Lord is the way to face age with serenity. "Be glad and rejoice and shout for joy," says the psalmist. What's your attitude? Is it spiritual poise? When I think of the aging saints that I've known, and I've had the privilege of knowing a good many of them, spiritual poise would characterize everyone. A peaceful readiness to be silent, to wait, to go and to do the next thing, to be shelved, if that becomes necessary. But they are never unnecessary to God. Some of you may feel keenly the fact that you're not nearly as necessary anymore to others as you once were. But you're never unnecessary to God. I think of the author of that very familiar gospel hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. It was written by Fanny Crosby, who, when she was just a baby, was blinded by a nurse's or doctor's mistake. When she was 9 years old, she wrote, "Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't." And she lived to be more than 90 years old. And she wrote, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." She wrote 8,000 hymns, some of which include To God Be the Glory, Blessed Assurance, Rescue the Perishing, and one that I think must have been particularly poignant, And I Shall See Him Face to Face. Old age is a part of the will of God. And in Romans 14:7, we read, "At every turn, life links us to the Lord. And when we die, we come face to face with Him. In life or death, we are in the hands of the Lord."
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.